Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. Sort of thinking in terms of how important it is to be seeing things or reflecting on things in a from a framework of Dhamma, as opposed to the way that we normally see things in accordance with our preferences, ideas, biases, fears, worries, projections, or from the sense of self, from the sense of me, of mine. That's generally how we live, how we perceive the world, perceive ourselves. The habit is the all of these assumptions, and of course the Buddha's teaching is always trying to shift that attention away from the obsession with self or the projection out to the world, and see things in accordance with Dhamma. And there's many different tools, of course, that the Buddha gives. And the investigation around the five khandhas, the five constituents of being, are an important framework to be reflecting from as we again we make assumptions from these constituents of being, or that we assume to be ourself, when we make those assumptions, then we take that as a reality. And then we get trapped in that. We get trapped in that assumption of reality. And we don't see it as, oh, that was just body. Not sort of my body or, body of somebody else. So it's just, it was just body. Or, was just feeling. Pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, neutral feeling. There's an assumption of selfhood, there's an assumption of a projection or proliferation of external world, and we don't recognize, oh, it was just a feeling. Or perception. Function of recognition, memory, um, giving meaning to things. We don't recognize it as just perception that arises and passes away. We assume a reality around it. And we invest a sense of self in it. And of course, the mind proliferates and builds on that. The mental formations that are formed around that, say the assumptions of rightness and wrongness, good and bad, beautiful and ugly, preferred or non-preferred, and that's all a mental formation. It's a sankhara that has arisen and passes away, but quite ephemerally. Consciousness is the conscious ability to be aware, conscious of an experience, whether it's the experience of the body, sense bases, feeling, perception, mental formation, the ability to be conscious of that. Being conscious of a thought, being conscious of a feeling, and then derive meaning out of it, make assumptions, proliferate around it, and there's a consciousness of that. And it's not really seen as just consciousness, there's the tying together of the threads of our assumptions, biases, preferences, attachments. So that to be able to step back and recognize that whatever assumption we make, whatever preference we have, whatever take we have on ourself or the world around us, it's all it is this one or another of the khanda. And the Buddha places a lot of importance on this seeing of these khandas. Because the assumption of a assumption of selfhood, assumption of solidity of the world around us, that assumption is grounded in that experience of the khandhas, of these constituents of being, and it's woven seamlessly without our questioning it. And that's the function of our meditation, that's the function of our investigation. So that to have a perspective of Dhamma, a perspective of a framework to see that it's not as solid and seamless as one would assume. To take experience and see, well, what is it that when we experience something, do we experience anything other than body? And having the body, then of course it's sense bases that are there, eye, ears, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, tactile sensation that arises through the body. Or the assumptions of the body itself, of its youth, of its age, of its beauty, of its unattractiveness. Whether it's the, say, the right shape or the wrong shape, right gender, wrong gender, all of these kind of are just grounded in the fact that there is just body. And it's just a khanda that in itself is constantly arising and ceasing. Itself coming into being through conditions and passing away through the changing of those conditions, shifting and changing according to those conditions. So it doesn't have a solid nature. It doesn't even have a consistent existence. The only thing that one could say is consistent is the fact that, say, the body is made up of certain elements of the solid element, the fluid element, the air element, the heat element. But you can't really work much of a story up out of the element, so we skip that over and go into the story, into the proliferation assumptions. But it's important to come back to, this is just a body arising out of dependent on the four elements, arising out of and sustaining itself through nutriment, and it has its limitations, and it, as I say, it in itself is composed of all these compounded things of a compounded nature that are arising and ceasing. Feeling is dependent on contact. You know, we have sense bases, we can see, hear, smell, taste, touch. Because of contact through those sense bases, you know, we experience a pleasant feeling, a painful feeling, a neutral feeling. A pleasant feeling is dependent on impermanent conditions, unstable conditions. It arises and ceases and changes. And again, you have to skip over that and, you know, go to a story that stimulates that, because that bare bones, raw kind of perception, perceiving, cuts through a whole lot of stories. And, you know, we love our stories, and we love our, and it's not as attractive to the mind that is afflicted with desire and clinging and ignorance. But if we really want to cut through that desire and clinging and ignorance, then we have to step back from the stories and the assumptions. And just come back, oh yeah, well that's, when it comes down to it, it's just, that's just a painful feeling. You know, whether it's a painful feeling of something that is physical, that, you know, one starts to react to, you know, oh my God, I've got a certain, I must have some illness, or why does this always happen to me, or why did they do that to me? But you just come back to, this is a painful feeling. Or whether, you know, it's a, whether it's emotional, the stories we get into of this is because of such and such, so and so did this to me, my parents did this, my society did this, it's my karma afflicting me. This, we get into huge stories. And you say, well, it's just a painful feeling. It arose because of contact. It, you investigate the causal conditions, but you're not creating the proliferation, the story around it. Pleasant feeling. I mean, that's we, you know, we say painful feeling, we tend to react with pushing away, aversion, feeling threatened. You know, pleasant feeling, you know, we reach out towards, we try to draw it in, we get it's conducive to sort of desire and infatuation with the kind of the sensual hit that arises. But it's just a pleasant feeling. You know, and the kind of the excitement of trying to maintain it, trying to extend it, trying to find something else that's similar, so we try to get more. That's the usual reaction. But you see the kind of fraught nature of that, the kind of tiring and ultimately frustrating feeling that comes from that, or experience that arises out of that. So to be able to, oh, just, that's a pleasant feeling. That's what pleasant feeling feels like. And it, dependent on contact, it arises, it ceases, not rejecting it, not getting swept up by it, clearly recognizing this is just a pleasant feeling. Something, some experiences are conducive to pleasant experience. So whether it's a physical one, you know, one experiences nice weather, one experiences good tasting food, or it's a emotional experience of being satisfied or being happy at something or other, some accomplishment, some gain. So this is a pleasant feeling. This is what pleasant feeling is like. One doesn't have to put a value judgment on it. It's just a feeling. You know, sometimes there, one does have to have a discernment in terms of Is this conducive to further aligning oneself with Dhamma or not? Because that's the Buddha's encouragement, certainly, is to cultivate those wholesome qualities which are associated with happiness and well-being, virtue, integrity, generosity, loving kindness, samadhi, insight. These are all conducive to pleasant feeling, feelings of happiness. But they need to accord with Dhamma, and they can't be clung to or misinterpreted. Say one can make assumptions. Oh, I have this pleasant feeling in meditation, bliss arises, happiness arises, I am an accomplished being of some sort or other. Or I'm a diminished being in some way or another. I shouldn't be having this. I don't deserve it. The mind is just is so perverted, actually. it makes problems. Even out of something good. So to be able to, again, just the alignment with Dhamma is so essential. This is a feeling, a recognizing, this is how it arises, this is how it passes away. A feeling, an impermanent feeling is dependent on impermanent conditions. And doesn't have to be, we don't have to make a whole story about it. Neutral feelings. The need for really developing real acute discernment, a steady reflectiveness. Because neutral feelings, the tendency is to how we respond the quality that tends to be associated with neutral feelings is easily delusion. Either confusion. A boredom, dullness, a nebulous state of mind that isn't able to sustain attention. Because a neutral feeling is not as interesting as I mean, it's even not as interesting as painful feeling. Sometimes we much prefer a painful feeling because a neutral feeling confuses us. We'll go back and just skip over that. So that as the mind becomes more settled and peaceful, sometimes we are not able to recognize how to use that skillfully. So the mind either drifts off into dullness, or it throws up some kind of something with more substance to it. Seeking something pleasant, stimulating, exciting. even if it's a rehashing of a memory of something pleasant, a rehashing of an old grudge that is unpleasant. But we don't sort of see it clearly and don't investigate it, don't recognize that is just a feeling, just neutral feeling arising and ceasing. So they, seeing it in from that framework of the five khandhas, gives us an opportunity of seeing things in accordance with Dhamma, and then recognizing how does it arise, how does it pass away. The perceptions, the whole function of memory, the giving of meaning to things, because that's what it works in that through memory, then we we have a whole bank of cues and stimuluses that remind us of things. And so we place a value and importance on those experiences according to how we what it reminds us of. But we take that to be real. We meet somebody and they remind us of somebody, they remind us of a particular quality that we've filed away in our memory. And maybe we've never met this person before, never seen him before in our life. But there, it brings it, the assumption, can easily make an assumption of, I don't like that person. And we're not really very clear why. They just remind it's, but it's because we're having to ascribe value to things, but we don't recognize how we're being pushed along and then creating a reality out of that. So just to be able to step back and say, that's just perception. Let's watch that for now. I don't know this person. Never met them before in my life. Or we like somebody. We're drawn to somebody. We don't know them at all. Sense of trust or belief arises. So we don't really understand why it comes. So that sense of seeing, that's just a perception. It's sanya, khanda. It's just a khanda. Well, those khandas, that perception is just a experience that is arising dependent on other impermanent experiences. So it doesn't mean that we disregard everything's impermanent, so therefore I can't believe anything, can't make an assumption of anything, can't deal with anything, so one sort of collapses into a fit of kind of nihilistic rejection of everything. But it's not. It's having a context and saying, This needs to be investigated. This needs to be seen for what it is. And cultivating the appropriate tools to see that, to deal with it. And that, you know, the whole path of practice that the Buddha gives, of the Eightfold Path, is that tool, or is that way, that cultivation, sila samadhi panya, the Eightfold Path. These are the tools that we rely on. Again, a framework of Dhamma to guide our both our viewing and our response to our sense of self and the world around us. Recognize Sankhara Khanda. I mean, that's the most complex. And all the mental formations, whether they're wholesome or unwholesome, whether they're coarse or refined, the whole emotional realm, emotional reactions, the application of intelligence, the foolish thoughts that we latch on to. It's just a mental formation. It's a thought formation. So that recognize, oh, that's just a mental formation. And then, because again, when we think about something, we invest a certain quality of you know, we believe in it. We believe in our thoughts. We think about, you know, the world is like this. This other person is like that. I am like this. I like this. I dislike that. But it's just a mental formation. We don't think, well, no, it's actually a mental formation is something that arises dependent on sort of impermanent conditions. It's like Ajahn Chah saying, you know, these things are always dependent. It's like you think, you have the sankhara, the mental formation, the thought processes that sort of, oh, I like this particular type of food. And, you know, it's got some reality behind it, because it tastes good, it feels good, it brings pleasant memories up, it has pleasant feelings associated with it. But it's because you only get that food once in a while that particular mental formation arises. If you had to eat that food every single meal for 2 weeks, a month, then you would, that mental formation would change. Mm-hmm. It would turn to dislike instead of it being liking. And remember when I was telling people, some people were asking not so long ago about experience I had of when I was a young monk and my first sort of living on Tudong. And You know, when you eat one meal a day, it doesn't really matter what you get. Everything tastes good. I was off living along the border areas, along the border of Burma, not many people were offering food. There was basically only one family, and that it was the duty of this cook to prepare my food and offer it. And so she just figured that I was a Westerner and couldn't eat Thai food, so she did these plain egg omelets, plain egg omelets are fine, but it was sort of every day for 2 months. It was years before I could look at a plain egg omelet again. Your mental formations are you're created out of experience. And you can make a problem out of it, and you can make a complicated, but it's fundamentally, it's just a mental formation. So to be able to look at things through that lens of the khandhas, and the Buddha is always really pushing us to be trying to drop our habit of the assumptions of personality. And of course what we create personality out of, or the world, instead of the personality internally, the world externally, because what we create personality from is form, feeling, perception, mental formations, consciousness. What we create the world outside us from is form, feeling, perception, mental formation, consciousness. When we see the world, we think of things, events outside, we get swept up in the events. We don't think, oh, that's just a mental formation. If we did, the feeling would be very different. The quality of coolness and calmness and rootedness, unshakability would begin to manifest. Or our own relationship to ourselves, a sense of me. It isn't, it's form, feeling, perception, mental formation, consciousness. It's about me and the story of me. So then, and reflecting and investigating, how to use that framework and that sense of, and that's where the, say like the frameworks of Dhamma are so important. So like the Four Noble Truths, that looking at this is form, and saying this is the cause of form, this is the cessation of form, this is the path leading to cessation of form. like that. Yeah, this is just okay. This is just body. This experience, what I'm having. This is just body. What's its cause? So rather than going into a whole complicated cause of me and my story, personal history, it's just no. This is this four elements sustained by nutriment. Life force, that's all it is. It's just the body. Cessation of body is when we're able to put it down. When we're not, when that is not the primary kind of focal point that leads to the, you know, me and my body, but beautiful, unbeautiful, old, young, whatever. All of the additions that we put on top of that. Path leading to cessation of body. Just this eightfold path. Right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. This putting ourselves in a foundation of training in virtue, in meditation, in wisdom, in discernment. That's the and then seeing the kind of the allure, seeing the drawback, seeing the way out. Again, it's a seeing the. The body has its allure. There's happiness, pleasure, that arises in association with the body. And that's its allure. It's there. You can't just sort of blow that off and disregard it. But does it come with a drawback in the same package? Does it come with a problem? Does it come with a hook in the same package? And I say, well, yeah, it does. There's the pain, there's discomfort of sickness, of illness, of the complications of aging, the complications of assumptions of identity that we carry with body. And you say, well, yeah, there's a drawback there. There's a hook there. And that's that. You say, where Ajahn Chah, where it isn't as if we, so it isn't even like a hook that the fish will just, there's the bait on the hook and it'll get that hook caught in its mouth. But you see, we're more like frogs. And frogs just swallow the whole thing down right to their, right into their gut. And it's just this. We bite the bait. We take the hook. The drawback is there. And, we suffer the consequences. The way out, the escape, is again just this Eightfold Path. And the same feeling, perception, mental formations, consciousness, seeing this is feeling. What's its cause? Cause is contact. What's the cessation? The cessation of contact, the stepping back from not having that contact. This says that it ceases on its own. Path leading to cessation. this practice, training, what's the allure? It's always around the pleasant feeling. What is that? The pleasant feeling, the happy feeling, the delightful feeling. And it's just a feeling. What's the drawback? It doesn't come, you don't get just pleasant feeling. There's the painful associated with it. Now that path of the escape is that it's dispassion, disenchantment, relinquishment. That's the escape. And it's not, and that disenchantment, dispassion, cessation, are not, they're not grounded in aversion or ill will. They're grounded in a clear seeing, and seeing this one, see that it's tiring and painful to keep butting your head up against seeking gratification and seeking satisfaction, seeking contentment, seeking peace in things which are inherently impermanent, changing, dissolving. These five khandhas have that nature. That investigation from a place of Dhamma is where we are able to be, find a platform, a base of stability. And that using these five khandhas and the reflections of Dhamma, seeing what this is feeling, this is form, this is perception, this is a mental formation, this is consciousness. Investigating its cause. How does it arise? What's it come from? What's its cessation? Where does it end? How does it end? What is its texture? What's the experience of that cessation? What's the path leading to cessation? What's its allure? What is attractive about it? What is pleasant about it? And what's its drawback? What's its painful? What's the punishment involved in it? In Thai, it's sort of told. How does it bite back at us? We need to investigate that, see it clearly. And seeing what's the escape? What's the way out? Those qualities, and the Buddha's always pointing to that sense of dispassion, disenchantment, relinquishment, putting it down, but it's that putting it down, disenchantment, dispassion, is grounded in the foundations of virtue, of stability of mind, of discernment, so that Sila, Samadhi, Panya are they provide this gravity, stability, steadiness that allows us to relinquish, put down without feeling shaken by it or being diminished by it. In fact, the more we let go, the more full we become. The more we're able to put down, the more still the heart becomes. And say that you're relinquishing from a position of clarity and stability. It's not out of aversion or out of poverty of spirit. It's a fullness. This path of aligning oneself with the Dhamma is amazingly simple. But, and deceptively simple, because, you know, the assumption is the habit is the assumption of the solidity and reality of our proliferations, our additions. So to take these five khandhas and investigate and utilize, relying on the Dhamma. So I'll offer that for reflection this evening.